This week's tidbit contains a depiction of self-harm. If this is triggering for you, I understand. We here at the Brilla Cobber Studios love you, and we'll talk to you next week. If you're experiencing a mental health crisis, please call 988, and they have someone standing by that can help. Be well, everyone. I'm Alan Brill, and this is a brilliant tidbit, a nugget from the mind of Brill. But warning, it gets dark in here. In the small town of Malvern, Iowa, stands a building now known as Malvern Manor. On the second floor at the end of the hall is a room known as Inez's room, the room where she is still known to occupy 125 years after her tragic death. Tonight, I share her story. Inez Mae Gibson was born on August 6, 1888. There can be little doubt that she had a rough go of it. Her parents divorced, and in the 1900s, the divorce rate was 0.7%, and there was a huge social stigma attached to it. So for a couple to get divorced, you know, things were just beyond bad. And neither her father or mother would accept responsibility for her. So a local grocer adopted her and gave her a stable and happy life. Several years later, the other shoe would drop. Her birth mother decided she wanted little Inez back and informed Mr. Gibson, her adopted father, that she intended to do just that. Little Inez declared she'd rather die than go back to her mother. On December 21st, 1900, her younger brother Otto found her hanging by her neck in the closet of her room on the second floor. Here's an account of the event by author John D. Paddock in his book, A Brief History of Malvern, written in 1917. The startling topic and causality of the afternoon has been the death of little Inez Gibson at the home of her foster parents, Mr. and Mrs. T.D. Gibson, and the tragic manner of the little one's death. The brother Otto and Inez had been playing upon the porch and lawn below when Inez, tiring of the play, wanted Otto to go with her upstairs to the playroom, and she ran up the stairs, but the brother remained below just a little while when he, too, climbed the stairs and was dazed and horrified to find his little sister hanging in the open closet from the room with the jumping rope about her neck. He worked frantically to take her down, but unable to do so, rushed to his uncle and aunt at the store. Mr. Gibson quickly reached the scene and placed the little form on her bed, and when Dr. Scott and Love arrived, every possible action was taken to bring her to the life, but it was to no avail. It had gone. There could be no verdict rendered but accidental death. The deepest possible sympathy of the whole community goes out to Mr. and Mrs. Gibson and this sad and tragic bereavement that has come to them. The funeral service at the home by Reverend H.P. McDowell and the little casket that is covered with beautiful flowers is taken to the place of burial. And okay, this one really hit me in the feels. I mean, most ghost stories have tragic, you know, origin mythos, but usually the story is custom-made to fit the haunting after the fact. Here we have a historical document that these indeed are the events that took place, and it became less about the ghost and more about Inez and her short and tragic life. In fact, it's affected me so much, I'm not going to dwell too much on the sheer awesomeness of the name Dr. Love. I will point out that it is fantastic. Now, you may have noticed, as I did, that Paddock had written, "There could be no verdict other than accidental death." What? So she was jumping rope in her closet, I guess, and when she was in midair, somehow one end got wrapped around her neck and the other around the shelf or something? It just seems like the odds are way, way, way against that. And she did say that she would rather die than go back to her mother's, which was threatening to become a reality. So I assume that the medical examiner was just doing the family and her memory and everything a solid by ruling it accidental rather than suicide, which would have had a lot of shame attached to it back then, not just for the victim, but for the entire family. However, when I was looking up other information online to go with the story, which I got from the Devil Is Coming to Get Me by Richard Estep. It's a fantastic book. We'll mention it again. And just doing a little online browsing, there was a newspaper article which insisted that it was indeed an accident, that she had a habit of climbing around in her closet, and, you know, maybe she saw the jumping rope with her, but it doubled down on the accidental part, which again may have been part of a cover-up, which was a good thing in this case. But this was just a little column. It didn't have the paper it was printed in, the date, the time, anything. It was just a little snippet. So it is possible that it was just a horrible, tragic accident. And, you know, we look at the fact that she said she'd rather die than go back to her mother, but she was also a 12-year-old, and we tend to exaggerate. Still do, like, oh, I'm going to kill that guy. It doesn't mean I'm literally going to kill that guy. So it could have just been an exaggeration instead of the literal truth. So very possible it was a tragic accident. It still reads more to me like a suicide, but either way, it is horrible. Many a visitor and paranormal investigator to Malvern Manor have encountered an entity that claims to be the little girl named Inez. There are a ton of EVPs of a little girl's voice that have been captured, and there are a lot of mediums who claim to have, you know, made contact with the spirit of the little girl. And there is a very compelling video that was taken with an SLS camera that shows a little body hanging in the closet while another one seems to just frantically be trying to free it. Now, SLS, that's structured light sensor, it's a very controversial camera in the field of ghost hunting. And if you've watched very many of the ghost hunter type shows, it's the camera that uses the grid of the little infrared dots that form like a 3D field, and it works a little bit like radar. If the beam hits something, it reflects back, and it uses the amount of time that it reflects back to render up, to add depth to it. And it's if you watch the shows, it's the one where they have all the dots, and you have like a stick figure that walks through, and they're like, hey, that's the ghost. The ghost is a stick figure. And its own technology makes it subject to pareidolia as much as people. That's pareidolia is where you make patterns out of nothing. The human brain loves to make patterns. But this is really compelling because the stick figures are moving. And the video, it's pretty good. It suggests more of a residual haunting than an intelligent haunting. But the point I guess I'm making is that it exists and it sounds pretty historically accurate. So we have a tragic and emotionally charged death. We have just continued reports of activity of a spirit that is, you know, the right age, the right gender, and apparently has the same name. We have compelling SLS footage of said entity. And, you know, this is slam dunk, right? Clearly the ghost of Inez haunts Malvern Manor. Case closed. Well, I did omit one small detail. Josh Hurd, he's one of the owners, and he's the longtime caretaker of Malvern Manor. We'll get into him when we actually do a episode on Malvern Manor, which we will. Well, he had repeated the above stories for years, just as he had heard it. But a few years ago, he made a little discovery. Now, while the story of Inez was true, and her death didn't occur in Malvern Manor, she actually lived a few blocks away. Malvern Manor was a hotel in those days, so I doubt she ever stepped foot in the joint. She lived in the town, she wouldn't need to stay in a hotel there, and I don't think they traveled a whole lot anyway, but there was really nothing to connect her to it. She had no ties to Malvern Manor. So, what's the deal with the haunting on the second floor room? Well, I mean, the first thing that we always have to consider is the power of suggestion plus expectation. If you're expecting a certain type of encounter, you're more prone to filter the things that you experience through that expectation. you know, even if it's not necessarily what's happening, you're going to be biased, you're going to lean in that direction. There's really just been too many on the nose sightings for this to be true. It's a real thing, but I think in this case, all the different investigators, all the different, you know, visitors that have experienced Inez, it's way too specific. A lot of the cases are. So I'm going to move on, but that's always something you got to keep in mind. Now, people, they actually may be creating these experiences of Inez based on the story they were told. I'm gonna graze. We're just gonna tip our little toe into the tulpa aggregor, the thought form. The theory is that if you believe in something strong enough, if enough people believe in one thing and focus on it, that you can manifest that thing into reality. That's it in a nutshell anyway. It deserves its own episode. And the case that always comes up when you talk about tulpa aggregor is the case of Philip. He's a group of parapsychologists, I believe, in Canada. They got together with the single intention of creating a poltergeist. And they made an elaborate backstory. They focused on him. It took them a while, but eventually they summoned up an entity named Philip that would knock on the tables, answer, it'd have independent thought from them, or so they think. It's always like the go-to case, and, you know, also, again, deserves its own episode. And I guess, do enough people believe in Inez? Do they all have the same idea of her in their mind that they could create a thought form? And do thought forms really exist? That's, you know, it's out there. It is one thing that would explain why in this one particular room known as Inez's room, they encounter a ghost called Inez when maybe, you know, it's not the actual ghost of Inez. Here's another thought, and one that I think has a lot of credence. Is something masquerading as little Inez? Is it something more malevolent that appears in the form of this innocent little girl to gain access to the people there? Is it an imposter? You know, it's has precedent in the paranormal field is that things do pretend to be other things in order to communicate with you, to get you to get your guard down so they can feed off you or what have you. So this is a very real possibility, I think. And then we have Malvern Manor itself. Does the manor attract spirits? Because there are a lot more spirits than Inez that are reported to be in there. And there's a big baddie in there too, according to most investigators. So, and we'll get to Malvern Manor, we will. But is it an access point? Is it some place where things from another plane of existence can come over more easily? It's also, you know, I'll mention it here, that it does have a connection with the Villisca Axe Murder House. And when we talk about Malvern Manor and Villisca in that episode, we'll get more into the connection they have, but there is an established connection there. And also, too, Villisca has a connection to another infamous haunted house that has a notorious big baddie in it, and that is the Sally House in Atchison, Kansas. So is there something going on with these places, this triangle that, well, it's not really a triangle, but these three points, is there more accessible? Also, Josh Hurd believes that the house that she perished in is no longer there. It's been torn down or it's burned down. It no longer exists as a structure. So did Inez simply move? Did she go to a place that has regular visitors that she can meet, and always has somebody coming through anxious to communicate with her? Did she go to somewhere where, or maybe she can be just a little less lonely? Who's to say? Some things to think about, though. But really, whatever it is that haunts what is known as Inez's room, whether it's imagination, whether it's a thought form, an imposter, or the spirit of a girl who tragically took her own life, that the one thing that we do know is that Inez was real. She was a real flesh and blood girl. She lived a short and troubled life, and whether she took her own life or whether it was just this freaking and tragic accident, in spite of all the ghost stories that we tell about her, she was a real person with real feelings and real emotions, and one who left this world just way too soon. So here's to you, Inez. Tonight, I honor your memory by sharing your story. You are remembered, and you are loved. If you are in crisis or feeling overwhelmed, if you are not sure where to turn, you are not alone. Do not hesitate. Call or text 988 now. Hey gang, I got the bulk of the story from the book, The Devil Is Coming to Get Me, by Richard Estep. I highly recommend it, and I highly recommend anything by Richard Estep. He's one of my favorites, so check it out. We'll see you next week.